Damn.
God damn it. Now we're live.
So what I was saying, I'm going to go close the blinds behind me.
Yeah, you don't want to do that with the blinds open. She should just get suspenders.
So I just told the chat room, those of you who haven't seen this, and I told the Slack people earlier, that at the end of the month, my wife no longer works for YouTube. Big news. Big news.
The biggest.
She's just gonna hit the skids. No, she's got a new job.
I just showed you, and nobody saw.
I saw. I wasn't gonna. I was pretending like I didn't.
What am I supposed to say? It's like, oh, ooh.
She wasn't lying.
Oh, wait a minute. That's kind of cool. I didn't notice the skull or face on your sweater.
Yep. It's a rental.
Is that King Kong on the left, or is it my just imagining?
No, it's a flower. It's a flower and a skull.
I thought it was
my favorite
pub. Again.
The flower and the skull.
The flower and skull.
I always head down for a pint of bitter at the Flower and Skull.
It's an Edgar. It was a place in an Edgar Allan Poe story.
Aye, laddie. Well, what else is new? Make sure there's no breaking news happening. What's new in my feed? Okay. There is favorite photos of the supermoon. Chrome 53 is rejecting Chase Bank's Symantec certificate. Gorilla bike lanes. San Francisco makes illicit infrastructure permanent.
Yeah, I think that's awesome, actually. That was pretty cool.
Siemens to buy Mentor Graphics. And Sony Pictures will stream live VR with Nokia's Ozo camera. There you go.
I don't like how Instagram is doing this thing now where it only shows you comments from your friends at the bottom. It makes me think that I haven't gotten any new comments.
Yeah, I know. And as we have witnessed recently in a couple of different shows, I have a problem seeing comments if they're not right there in front of me. And I have to click something to see more of them.
I'm like, oh, wow, I only got one comment? Okay. And then it's like, no, you have like 17 comments, but they're all buried because we're just going to show you the one person we think you care about. Which isn't true. I care about everybody.
You're like, which isn't true. I don't care about that person. And they keep showing me his comments.
We're only friends for whatever reasons. I don't know.
It's funny. Like, there's some people I follow on Swarm that I started following back in the Foursquare days.
Right.
That I look at it and I'm just like, wow, I don't really need to know where you are. Like, we haven't talked in years.
Well, if you're not getting like push notifications, it's not so bad.
No, it's just when I open Swarm. I don't really see it otherwise.
Oh, man.
Like, it makes me feel a little uncomfortable.
I know. I did do a bit of a cleaning out of that because there was a... That was kind of a thing. Because at first you're just like, oh, I'm just going to add everybody. I kind of know because it's new.
There's people I know from like early Revision 3 days that were friends of Eileen and when I was doing the show there and then CNET, and most of which I still keep in contact with. But
mm-hmm.
It's like accidental stalking.
Right. Opt-in stalking.
Yeah. Legacy.
Legacy opt-in stalking.
I'm a legacy opt-in stalker. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. So the wife's hanging around the house on vacation.
Ah. Nice.
Which is good for the dogs, because Sawyer just got a walk in the middle of the day that he would never have gotten otherwise.
He's like, just the best.
I love it.
Bodega went on like 3 6-mile hikes this weekend.
Nice.
So she was She was pretty excited.
We used to do that with Django more. We don't do it with Sawyer enough.
She's in getting in good shape. She gained 10 pounds since her last checkup.
Wow.
So she doesn't look fat at all. I don't know where it's going.
When I saw her last month, she looked totally normal.
Yeah, she looks great, but she is just, you know, getting older, metabolism slowing down.
Yeah, yeah. Happens to all of us.
I feel like it's all in her neck, you know, just like me. All her like extra weight carried in the back of her neck.
Is that where yours goes?
That's where mine is. See, just like...
Is it like a pack of hot dogs?
It. I can't tell.
I like it. Anyway, yeah, so she's been on extra walks and extra, a little less food.
All right, let's start this broadcast. Full of broad shoulders, thick necks. Hi, we're live.
Now you're laggy.
Oh, because we started the show.
Yeah, you were fine until you were. It's a little. It's like a second.
Yeah. I can't tell if I see it or not. Maybe a little bit.
Well, that's much more noticeable now that you're doing that.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's. Yeah. No, I can see it a little. Well, it's better than it was last week.
Mm-hmm.
Last week,
yeah,
it was,
that was rough.
It was like a full second or two behind me.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
What a different world than this time last week.
I guess it is. Why is that?
Why
the Cubs
that?
Had already won the World Series last week. Well, I'm not sure what you mean.
It's true.
And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
I see trees green.
Trees are actually mostly brown.
Mostly, I would say, well, it depends. Like a redwood is mostly green because like a
or a willow
portion.
Could be mostly white.
Well, I guess just from the outside, I guess, you know, in terms of mass...
Mostly bark.
Well, what you see in terms of color is the outside, so it really just be... Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have anything to do with the mass, but the amount of volume it takes. And then
No, because the volume... I don't mean the outside. I meant not
the surface
volume,
area.
The surface area. Thank you.
You mean not the mass, the surface area.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Right.
This is better than that. All right, shall
I
we?
I can't afford a new laptop.
Why do you need a new laptop?
I don't know.
Oh, are you just having? Are you just having jealousy because there's new laptops out?
Uh huh. Are we gonna start now?
Yeah, we could start now.
We don't have to. I'm okay with looking at Instagram for another couple of minutes.
I admire your dedication to prep.
Your dedication to the craft is exemplary.
Yeah.
Hey, I showed up, and showing up is half the battle.
It is half the battle. You're absolutely right.
Yes. It's just the other 50% that kind of completes it.
And now we're about to do the other 50%.
All right. I'm going to hide.
All right. Yep. Let's get going. Here we go.
Oh, I need control.
Oh, I'm glad you said it right then. Almost was too late. Okay. 3, 2, any last words? 1. Daily Tech News Show is powered by its audience, not outside organizations. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support. This is the Daily Tech News for Monday, November 14th, 2016. I'm Tom Merritt. Joining me, as she does on Mondays, Ms. Veronica Belmont alongside. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm great.
Great.
This is our first week in a couple of weeks where we don't have a guest, but I'm actually very excited to talk about our topic. There's a few different music pieces of news about online streaming, and we're going to talk about what streaming services we use and why. And you have no response.
Sounds like a plan.
That. Yeah. No. Okay. So you did know that was the topic, right?
Yeah, you could. You can hear me, right? Because I did actually have a response.
What was your response?
It was just delayed, maybe. You didn't hear me?
No, I didn't hear your response.
Oh, I said it sounds like a plan.
Well, no, that I did hear that. I was took a little bit for that to come.
Oh, that was my response.
All right. Hey, do you like to donate to nonprofits?
I do, and I donate to many.
Well, now you can donate through Apple Pay. Apple's now allowing that. They didn't allow that before.
Why didn't they allow that before? That's weird.
I think
but I'm
it
glad
had to
they
do
are.
With the store processing, you know, and the taking 30%. Like Apple didn't want to take 30% of charities, so they're. I think that's probably why. Now here are some more top stories. Samsung has agreed to buy Harman International for $8 billion. Harman makes connected car and audio systems. You probably remember them as the speaker makers. They've
Harman Kardon, right?
Yeah, right. Harman Kardon, JBL. They have acquired a lot of software over the years, though, as the speaker business started to shrink. So they make embedded systems now for cars. They make telematics. They make some security software for cars, like lock security. They have BMW, Volkswagen, Toyota amongst their clients. So Samsung is now going to have a top car software maker. They say they're going to keep them as a standalone subsidiary. Although Chief Strategy Officer at Samsung, Young Son, said Samsung will not get into the business of manufacturing cars. They just want to make the stuff for the manufacturers.
All right. I'll believe it in 10 years when I see them not having Samsung cars, because I bet they will.
You'll believe it when you don't see that on the road.
Yes. 10 years from now, when I remember having recorded this podcast and claiming that, yes, there will probably be Samsung cars.
I mean,
Samsung
certainly it makes sense for them to get into the automotive software side of things. That Apple's doing it. Google's doing it. Everybody's doing it. So I think this is a wise decision for them. Saying we're not going to get into the business of manufacturing cars, I think is managing investor expectations. But if down the road a couple of years, if nothing else, somebody wanted to use the Samsung name on a car, you don't think they'd go for that? Of course they would.
Yeah, why? If they can make money, absolutely. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Microsoft briefly posted on its MSDN blog that Visual Studio is coming to macOS. Details will be revealed at the Microsoft Connect conference in New York later this week. The new Visual Studio will be based on Xamarin for macOS, hopefully I'm saying that right, which Microsoft acquired earlier this year. The MSDN post has since been removed, implying it was published accidentally in advance of the conference, which almost never happens. Just kidding. That always happens.
It happens so often. So Microsoft, sorry, it got up there. People saw it. We know the details. And it looks fine. Now, some people are taking issues with the fact that this is really just Xamarin with a Visual Studio name slapped on it. But Microsoft has done some things to it to make it be able to share objects with the Windows version of Visual Studio. So even though it's not exactly the same piece of software, there is some compatibility between it. And, you know, I think we've lost the reaction of Microsoft doing things we never thought they would do because they've done so many of them. But, you know, transport yourself to 2001, when Microsoft is out there railing against the evils of Linux and deriding Apple and minimizing them as a competing platform. And the idea of them bringing Visual Studio to OS X, or as it is now called, Mac OS, seems impossible. Don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, they're really getting into the, we just want to be the software makers for any operating system at this point. You know, we just want to make the best software possible for people to use across platforms.
Yeah, and people are pointing out that there's other ways to do VS Code. VS Code is already cross-platform, so this isn't as big of a step, again, as it would have been. But it is a big tool for developers. I know a lot of developers complaining about the new MacBook Pros, saying they're not as developer-friendly. But that doesn't mean there aren't still a ton of people on legacy MacBook Pros and even buying the new MacBook Pros. So you've got developers that are going to use Visual Studio. Attackers accessed more than 412 million user accounts at Friend Finder Network, including 339 million accounts at adultfriendfinder.com, which, by the way, if you don't realize, it's about being more than just friends. 15 million deleted accounts were in this haul, And that is deleted accounts that were not properly purged. So even if you deleted your account on this website, it might be in this accessed batch. 62 million accounts came from cams.com, 7 million from penthouse.com. The attack occurred near the time a local inclusion flaw on Adult Friend Finder was disclosed. The company was attacked last year, exposing more than 4 million accounts that time. That breach exposed preference choices, things like sexual preference choices. Oh. This latest one does not. However, it does expose passwords, some of them in plain text, others scrambled with the SHA-1 hash function, which is easily crackable.
That's not good. No. That is not good security. Oh, that sucks. Yeah. What, Tom? You're making a face.
I was just going to add that a lot of people don't use their actual names and identities on this sort of thing, but they might still reuse passwords. So yeah, getting email addresses and all that sort of thing is embarrassing in a situation like this. The fact that they've got plain text access to your passwords or you know, easily crackable hash means that you need to make sure if you were using this site that you don't use that same password anywhere else.
Depends on your priorities, I guess, which aspect of this is the worst.
Is the most horrifying to you?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I can't remember if it was ZDNet or somebody else, but there was one article that interviewed some people who said, well, I never used any of my real information there anyway, which I found.
But if your email address and password are the same, that's kind of that point doesn't really matter all that much.
Yeah.
As you just reiterated. So yeah, just, you know, use a password manager, change your passwords often, don't use the same password across multiple services, and change them frequently. That's the advice that we just give as a blanket statement of advice. Yeah. In terms of passwords. And it's absolutely still the best advice.
Turn on that two-factor authentication if you can.
I don't. It seems like it's maybe not available at adultfriendfinder.com.
I don't think so.
To two-factor your account.
I mean, it would be weird if they were all advanced enough to do two-factor but still using SHA-1 to hash their passwords. I don't know.
And then still stored your passwords in plain text.
In plain text, yeah.
Just like, yeah, why? Why? An Indiegogo funding campaign for the Matrix Power Watch claims the fitness tracker can use your body heat to keep it charged. CNET's Scott Stein reports it creates electrical current from temperature gradients and uses the transformer to amplify the charge. Heat from the low power processor is vented from the sides of the watch to maintain the gradient. The watch will track steps, calories, activity, and sleep, and has 50 meter water resistance. The Matrix Power Watch plans to ship next summer for $160, and the Indiegogo early bird price is $99. And I just want to say that I am going to make a prediction. Yeah, you know, it's a little early for the prediction show, but I'm just going to put this out there.
You're getting warmed up. I like it.
It's going to, yeah. I'm getting warmed up because I'm going to say it's going to burn people.
Oh, no.
There you go. There's my prediction.
It just detects.
Something's going to go wrong. It's venting heat somewhere. Something's going to go wrong. I'm just going to put that out there. Probably. I have no basis for this at all. No basis.
All right. Fair enough.
Nothing about the company.
Yeah,
it's just, you know, it's going to be 2017 by that point anyway. So maybe things will be better in the world. But, you know, it's probably that's what's going
to
happen.
I think it might burn people in its battery life and ability to charge. Scott Stein got his hands on it and was able to look at it and see that it worked. But as he says in his article, and I saw several other people say the same thing, he didn't get to use it for a week. So, you know, I mean, any watch would work for the amount of time that he had to play with it. He said that he did see that the thermal activation would connect and he would see a connection, although it would go on and off sometimes, depending on how good of a contact it made with his arm. And the other thing is, calling this a watch is legit because it does tell time, but it is really just a fitness tracker. It doesn't do much else. It doesn't connect to a smartphone. It doesn't do notifications. This is just a fitness tracker. In fact, it doesn't even do heart rate because that would be too power intensive. But it is.
I'm already guessing like all the emails, people being like, it doesn't store enough power to burn you. And I know this in my rational brain. Yeah. I don't care. It's going to find a way.
It's somehow.
Disasters find a way.
Going to overcome that. Well, that's the other thing is the prototype design is not terribly pretty, according to Scott. But they have mock-ups of what it will look like when it ships, that is. So whether they can actually keep that heat vented properly and make the pretty design is something interesting. All of this to say, you know, I mean, this is poking holes in something, which we do. But the idea that you could have a workable product that wouldn't need to charge, That'd be great. That can just use your conductive heat, even if it's very simple. It's pretty great. Yeah.
And here I am pooping all over it, and it hasn't even launched yet. I should not be so harsh on things before I've had a chance to look at them.
It's a good point. We could consider all kinds of other power sources for this thing. I think it was Scott that added not poop as a power source, but solar and kinetic energy. Like if you could combine those into a watch, suddenly you can start to create a little bit more power. Maybe it could have a heart rate tracker at that point. Eugene Kaspersky of antivirus maker Kaspersky Labs wrote a blog post complaining that Microsoft's bundling of Windows Defender and Windows 10 is anti-competitive. Now, Windows 10, if you don't realize it, detects and uninstalls unsupported antivirus programs during upgrades. Kaspersky complains that developers don't have enough time, even if they're part of the preview program, to develop compatible software. And there's no going back and saying, hey, Kaspersky's antivirus is now up to date. Can you reinstall it instead of Defender? So he's like, we don't have enough time, and we get uninstalled because of that. Windows also displays a warning screen that Windows Defender is turned off from time to time, even if you have an active and upgraded third-party antivirus protecting your system. And he says it's unclear to people that turning Windows Defender off will turn off the third-party system. It's like they need to clear that up. They need to give us more time. And he's filed complaints in the European Union and Russia.
I think that sounds pretty reasonable, frankly. I think that's kind of gnarly.
Yeah. I go back and forth on this. On the one hand, I don't think it's monopolistic behavior for an operating system to have its own security. Like, we want that. And it's a little bit anti-consumer to say you should give us more time to upgrade security if that means you're making consumers wait for updates that could otherwise be installed, right? But at the same time, if you're going to allow third parties, then I think you do need to play nice. And honestly, I don't know about the, you know, disabling antivirus because there isn't enough time. I'm a little unclear on what Kaspersky means, because plenty of other software makers are able to update their apps in time for Windows 10 updates. So I'm not sure why he says security in particular has a problem with that.
But I wonder if it has to do with, you know, if people build, you know, basically figure out what am I trying to say here? So if there's a new update to Windows 10, for example, they need some time to figure out what new vulnerabilities are happening in that update, and then be able to patch those appropriately. So that, to me, that makes sense in comparison to other kinds of software programs out there. But it would also make sense for me that Windows Defender could run in tandem with the, is there a reason why they can't leave them running also?
They will conflict with each other and use up system resources. And there's a few other reasons. There should be a way for an antivirus maker to update its software to work with the new updates, even if it hasn't figured out all the vectors, and just push updates to that as it goes. The Defender warning that kind of implies that you're not protected, even if you are, is bad. And Windows should absolutely change that, in my opinion.
It's bad, and they should feel bad.
I don't know if they should feel bad, but they should change
that's what
it.
We're saying.
Whatever they feel, they should definitely change that. I'm not sure that it's anti-competitive, though. It's different than bundling in a browser, right? Like, bundling in security is something we would like software to do. So,
I just want to give you a warning. If for some reason you start hearing loud alarms and I have to leave, there is a strong smell of something burning in the toaster in the office now. So hopefully that will get taken care of.
Good to know.
No smell-o-vision.
Yeah.
TechCrunch reports on MIT's Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Lab development of Mover for wireless VR headsets. That's MOVR. Mover uses millimeter wave technology, same thing being used for 5G experiments, to deliver multiple gigabytes per second. Mover does require line of sight for transmission, so right now the prototype uses programmable mirrors to detect and direct the signal. This is different than the $220 Vive add-on that went on sale last week to make the Vive wireless. Oh, I want that. I want that so bad.
I know.
That's too expensive, though.
It's a little expensive, and you have to be able to translate the Chinese pre-order page. That was another thing that gets in the way of people updating this. But Here we have, in 1 week, Vive and now this MIT development moving us towards those wireless VR headsets. So before we've even all decided whether we think VR is real or not, we're making some good advances, which is great. Also, revelation. I'm looking at this thing the whole time I've been reading this story as MoVR. Mover. Of course it's Mover. Like, I don't know why I didn't see that till you said it.
Yeah, I think it's actually a pretty good name for it too.
Yeah,
that's a great little acronym.
And yeah, this is a development that's in a lab, so we're not going to see this one as soon. But the nice thing about it, unlike the HTC add-on, it's smaller. They think they can get it down to smartphone size as far as the device you need to have attached to you somewhere. And the HTC Vive one could be up to backpack size when they add the battery life to it. Also, it's cross-platform. They're like, this could work for anything. It could work for an Oculus. It could work for a PlayStation VR. It could work for anything. It doesn't really matter.
That's awesome. I was talking a lot about VR this weekend, and you know, just the sheer size of all the devices still is problematic for a wider adoption, I think, unfortunately. And although I did kind of come to the conclusion that I was like, maybe I should get LASIK so I can use VR better. I don't have to have my glasses in the way. I'm like, I'm really thinking of getting like eyeball surgery just so my VR experience is better. Like, I need to find a few more use cases of that first.
Suddenly, all of the eye doctors in our audience just decided to order VR headsets for their waiting rooms.
Yeah. Like, it'll be so much more comfortable if you don't have to wear your glasses.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, just entertain yourself with our VR headset. By the way, we offer LASIK surgery if it's uncomfortable using that.
It's a good neck exercise, though, wearing those headsets after a while. Good for strengthening those weakening muscles we have from looking down at our phones all the time.
I see, everything finds a way. Life finds a way. When you lose your neck strain from smartphones, someone invents a heavy VR headset for you.
It's Protopia. That's what it is.
Ah, right. Of course. How could I forget? Thanks to all those who participate in our little Protopia right here at Daily Tech News Show. Our subreddit is dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. Submit stories and vote on them there. Now, one of the bigger stories of the day, we left out of top stories just because we want to talk about it here. Google released a redesigned Google Play Music app for Android, iOS, and the web. On Monday, if users opt in, the app can now recommend music based not only on your tastes, but your location and activities. Now, there's a side story here which goes along with every new Google thing, which is, do you want it to track you and aggregate this information? But if you do, you'll get better recommendations. And so in this morning, I tried it, and it gave me a morning coffee and a workout playlist because it knew I was up at home, and it knew it was morning. So it's like, hey, we think you might be doing these sorts of things. And that's the idea. They want to surface different playlists. Like when you're at work, you might get a work playlist. They're a combination of machine learning and human curation. So don't forget that Google owns Songza, which was a company that focused specifically on human curated playlists for various situations. You can also get a personalized playlist available for offline listening if you're a subscriber. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just saying,
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Rhapsody also announced, it didn't really announce. It was actually in a Real Networks filing because Rhapsody isn't publicly owned. But they are 42% owned by Real Networks, that they posted a profit of more than $1.6 million in Q3 on record revenue of $54 million. Rhapsody recently rebranded its music app to Napster because it owns the rights to use the name Napster. This story is from today, just even though I said Real Networks, Rhapsody, and Napster.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was all brings me back.
Yeah, all of a sudden we're doing Buzz Out Loud 2006. But no, this story is today. And that combined with Amazon Unlimited Music, which is Amazon's standalone music service. It's not part of Amazon Prime, although you get a discount if you're Amazon Prime. That launched in the US last month, and it's launching in the UK today. Means that streaming music is the stuff. That's where everybody is going. And I think this has been apparent for a long time. We've had lots of hand-wringing about whether you can make enough money off of it, but everyone's getting into the game. And Veronica, the curious thing about this is Google polishing up its app, Amazon getting into the game. We're seeing all kinds of different regional music apps like QQ Music, KKBox, Angami, and Melon. And yet, Spotify's got 44% of the global market share. At least that's what Midea says as of Q2. Like almost half of the market share is Spotify. Let me just guess. What streaming service do you use?
Spotify.
Yeah. My wife uses Spotify. I asked people in our analyst Slack what they use. None of them use Spotify, or at least none of the ones that were there when I asked the question.
Really?
So there's another half to this story, right? There are the 56% who don't. I, for one, use Google Music. And so I think this is a good conversation for us to have, because the way we use music apps is changed, and what Spotify delivers you, they think, is what's keeping their market share up. And so we see these other companies trying to come up with other ways to entice you over. So let's start. Just tell me, like, why do you use your music apps the way you do?
I was an RDO user in terms of what streaming service I kind of got in bed with early in the game. Initially, I had had MP3s for years and years, of course, like everybody else of our age range did. And then when I switched over to streaming, I just really liked the simplicity of being able to have it syncing to all my devices wherever I was. And Spotify just, you know, for the bang for its buck is that there's so much music there. I mean, they really have no problem getting artists to bring their content to Spotify. But, you know, that's not really a problem across the board anymore these days, unless you're doing something like, I don't know what the more specific labels are like.
Yeah, but there's exclusives for things like Tidal, right. You know, where Jay-Z only Apple releases music, album on there, or Taylor Swift is not on Spotify these days, stuff like that.
Little things here and there that can be annoying, but at the end of the day, not a deal breaker for me. But yeah, I just like the price is great. I like having it sync across all my devices, and I really do like the curation that they do. I tend to find that a lot of the playlists that they create are enjoyable for me. And I like that discoverability factor. I mean, I'm not listening to radio the way I used to. So being able to have a method for discovering new music that's outside of my immediate bubble is really nice. And typically I just use Spotify for having background music when I'm at work during the day. I can't really listen to a lot of vocal tracks when I'm trying to concentrate. So I listen to like atmospheric-y type stuff. And Spotify has a great selection of that as well. So it kind of, and now that it's doing podcasts and video sometimes and things of that nature, it's really kind of expanded its repertoire quite nicely. And I don't really see a reason to try other things. And even in the Google ecosystem, you know, we just got a Google Home, and I like it very much. But I you know, I asked it to play some jazz music when I was cooking dinner last night. It automatically picked jazz from Spotify, and it didn't default really. I mean, it might have been Ryan's account, my husband's account, so maybe that was what it was. But I know that if whether I have an Amazon Echo or if I have a Google Home, you know, I'm able to use Spotify because it's the biggest one, and I know it's going to be there.
Yeah, I think that is one of the big reasons that Google is polishing up this app right now is Google Home. Mm-hmm. They're hoping will bring a lot of people into Google Music, but of course they're integrated with Spotify, as is Amazon Echo, which is another advantage to Spotify. It's why Netflix took off in the early days, was you could get Netflix on every video player.
And now that's a reason why every new home theater system, whether it be, you know, if it's an Xbox or a PlayStation or any number of home theater devices, they all come with Netflix integrated, because now that it's become so popular, that's a selling point. Netflix doesn't have to try to get on these devices anymore. They are being begged to be on these devices, it seems.
Yeah.
So I think Spotify is kind of the Netflix of music in that regard.
Now, the number two in global ranking is Apple Music at 19%. I think that is explainable in large part, not entirely, but in large part by iOS users saying, oh, I like living in this ecosystem. Let me try it out. And then sticking with it. We had a couple people in the Slack say just that. Like, they used to be on Spotify, and then when Apple Music came out, they switched to it to try it out, and they liked it. And it just works well with their ecosystem. So there's an ecosystem advantage there for Apple that I don't think is translatable to others. I don't know that Google could pull off the same thing, for instance, with the Pixel.
Yeah, I think it's because Apple just also has a reputation built around music now as well, especially with the acquisition of Beats and just being, you know, the iPod being so ingrained in our collective subconscious as being the music device of a generation. You know, people tend to equate those two things. So that definitely gives them a leg up. Google doesn't really have that as much. Like, people kind of know that they have music or that they can store their music that way, but I don't know if it's top of mind in the same way.
Now, here's where I do think Google has an advantage that they don't tout as often, and I don't think we think of as often, which is YouTube. Looking at streaming hours, and this survey is only for the U.S., but it does include non-paid services like Pandora and YouTube. Pandora is the number one in the U.S. in Q2 for streaming hours at 30%. Number two is YouTube at 27%, and number three is Spotify at 18%. So the other thing that Google is doing here is saying, hey, we know that Spotify is great for discovery. So we're going to try to help with that by making this personalized playlist based on your listening habits and providing these context-sensitive playlists that also are informed by your habits as well as curation, right? And what people probably don't understand is even if they've never used Google Music, as soon as they sign into this and try it, it will work better because they do listen to YouTube. I think we all underestimate just how much music we watch and listen to on YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, I love using YouTube for music. That is one of the big reasons I actually go to YouTube.com is to watch music videos because they're so hard to just see out in the world these days. Like, YouTube is kind of the place to go. Like, Vivo is like where you go to see music videos now. And that's a big win for them.
Yeah, and I don't think Google Music is going to succeed unless they make a bigger deal out of that. And that there is a little brand confusion there with Google and YouTube. One of the things, I started using Google Music because it was at the time the only way that you could combine your catalog of owned music with the streaming music seamlessly in the playlist. And it works great for that. Amazon does that now too, and a few other services have added that. But I still think Google is the easiest way to do that. I was thrilled when they launched YouTube Red because suddenly, just by being a Google Music subscriber, suddenly I got no advertisements on YouTube and I got access to their originals and I got offline playback. Again, I don't think they're doing enough to let people know, like, you get all of these sorts of things. And so I think right. Spotify is going to continue to be the one that's top of mind.
To dominate, yeah.
But yeah, I don't use iTunes Match because they don't match everything.
Well, and then they screwed up everyone's libraries. Yes, I never did it for that reason. I'm like, I'm not going to lose all my remaining MP3s because you guys just decide to delete them for some reason. I don't know.
It seems like a bad deal thing. And I did use it.
It would be me. I'm the one who had tuberculosis. Fair enough.
You've got the mark. But that's not really why I did it. I did it because I stopped using it because with iTunes, it wouldn't match anything less than 30 seconds. And I'm weird. I got little less than 30 second music things like from They Might Be Giants. I've got old commercials that I like to have just, you know, thrown in my playlist from the 40s and 50s for atmosphere. It wouldn't match any of that stuff. And it wouldn't even match some of my nerdier, weirder songs. Whereas Google Music just said, hey, look, that's your song. It's up here. We don't care how long it is. We don't care what it is. Now it's there. You can put it in your playlist. And so that's why I ended up using Google Music. But I don't think a lot of people care about that. I don't think that's a very common concern. No.
I mean, maybe they do. That would be an interesting survey to kind of run of how many people actually do that. I'm sure those numbers are out there somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not for me. It's not a make it or break it kind of feature.
Now, okay. Last question. If Spotify... If someone were to come up with a service that would compel you to turn away from Spotify, can you imagine what it would be that they would have to offer you? What is the thing that you're like, oh, if somebody gave me this, I might stop?
You know, I don't think so, because the only thing that drives me nuts about Spotify is that they have a lot of great playlist features on mobile that don't translate over to the desktop client. So I'd like to see that, but I have a feeling they're going to be fixing that or making them more widely available. They have these great daily mixes. that aren't available on desktop, but are right. like right on the top of your playlist for mobile. But yeah, I mean, I can already download to my device if I want to, if I want to have things offline for playing when I'm not on the internet or connected for some reason, airplane mode, whatever. So I don't really know what that killer feature would be for me to make me switch. I think it would have to be more like Spotify would lose features for the tier that I pay for it to really be an issue. I mean, I use it every day, and I can't think of any reason what more I would need. I mean, it would have to be something pretty spectacular or free for me to make the switch. I think I guess price would really be the thing.
Price is what Amazon is trying to tempt you with. Google actually and Apple both offer the ability to use those playlists across devices. Although with Google, it has to be in a browser, and with Apple, it has to be in iTunes. But yeah, I haven't seen anybody come up with the killer feature that makes me think, oh, well, the Spotify users are going to want to leave. I think it would have to be selection. It would have to be some kind of a hit playlist, and this is what Google's angling for, I think, that everybody raves about and says, oh, the playlists here are so good. The discovery is so much better than Spotify.
But Discover Weekly is already so good for so many people.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
That would be hard to convince, even if it was true. And maybe it would be with ease of use, data consumption. I don't know. I think it would have to be a new feature, honestly. The more we talk about it, it would have to be something that we haven't thought of, that we didn't know we needed.
Or all of what I'm already getting, but literally free.
But like, yeah. Or like $2 a month. Problem is, that's not going to happen because the music companies are only wanting to get more money out of these streaming services. They're not letting up the pressure.
I'd be curious what the audience would want to see if they can, you know, I as a product person, I can't even think of what I would want more if I were designing the product myself. So sometimes wisdom of crowds, maybe you guys have a better idea.
Yeah. Send us your ideas. We want to hear not only how you listen to music, but what is that one feature that you would like to see in a music app that you're not seeing that would sway you to move, whether it's from Spotify or some other service, to something else? By the way, you may have noticed I didn't disclose that my wife works at YouTube right there. She technically still does, but at the end of this month, she will no longer. She's changing jobs. She has a job. Don't worry. It's going to be great. She's very excited about it. And I will disclose that once that becomes a real thing. But yes, so technically my wife still works at YouTube for the moment, but she won't by December.
Congrats, Eileen. Yay.
Yeah, congrats. I'm very excited for a new job. And I can't wait for her to be ready to tell people what it is.
Indeed.
Let's get to our pick of the day from Soren in Denmark, who said, I just wanted to mention that I swear by Freedom by F-Secure. I remember a while back we asked people to send in their VPN picks. This is Soren's. He says, I haven't done extensive research into the deeper workings of it, but F-Secure seems trustworthy, especially because they employ Mikko Hipponen, who I respect deeply for his extensive knowledge of security. I, too, respect Mikko. He's great. Also, they have apps available for all the major platforms. Makes it incredibly easy to use the service. Just the press of a button on my Android phone. It's not free, but it's also not terribly expensive either. I don't remember the exact price. By the way, also just wanted to mention that I really appreciate the fact that you have started sending the summary newsletter of the week's most important stories. Super nice way to catch up.
That's awesome.
So two picks for one. One is F-Secure's VPN. And the other is, if you didn't know, anyone who backs the show at the $5 a month level or more gets a weekly summary of tech news and an original column post from me about one of the issues we've been talking about. Thank you, Soren from Denmark. Send your picks to us, folks. Feedback at dailytechnewsshow.com. And you can find more picks at dailytechnewsshow.com/picks. Well, that is our Manic Monday, ladies and gentlemen. Veronica, I am very thankful you were here.
Well, thank you for having me. And I wanted to say I had a very nice experience this weekend. Tom, I think you'll get a kick out of this. I met a young woman. Well, she's you know, she's old enough to be gainfully employed at Google at this point. But she said that she went to college to get a CS degree because she was a Buzz Out Loud listener.
Aw.
And she disagreed with me about something and wanted to be able to have the skills to back up her opinions about technology. And I was like, that's funny. I'm doing what I'm doing with Molly. So if you want to get into technology, find a woman who you disagree with and use that as your impetus to become informed about the topics you care about.
What a positive use for the fact that there is no greater power than the urge to correct someone on the internet.
I know. Somebody is wrong on the internet. I'm going to get a computer science degree. That's fantastic. I think it was, it really warmed my heart. It was really nice to hear. And, you know, it's nice. I've had so many awesome role models in technology throughout the years. So it was just pretty cool. And it gave me happy thoughts to think that people still remember Buzz Out Loud.
Yeah. Oh, that's very nice. It makes me happy too. In fact, Dr. Carl, who was once Carl the med student, had a picture on his Facebook this weekend, and he was in his Buzz Out Loud shirt. It still hasn't fallen into tatters somehow, so that was cool as well.
She never told me what she disagreed with me about, though, so find her. I didn't get that part of the story, so I have to complete the circle. I have to know what it was. And if she was right or if I was right, I'll never know.
Yeah, maybe she figured, maybe finally after she got her degree, she changed her mind and agreed with you. That's why she didn't want to.
Well, yeah, if she has a CS degree, she definitely is probably more qualified on certain topics than I am.
Well, thank you, Veronica. I'm glad the toasters didn't come to get you, Battlestar Galactica style. It seems like
so far the building has not burned down, so I guess I'm in good shape.
Okay. Anything else to tell folks about where they can find you?
Growbot.io is the company that I am doing product for. It's an awesome bot that lives in Slack and soon to be Microsoft Teams as well, and that launches. So we're working hard to expand to other platforms as well. But if you want a cool tool for tracking team recognition, head over to growbot.io.
Thank you, and thanks to every single person who supports this show. You guys are the best. Got some really nice reactions to the brief version of the show that we did on Friday, so huge thanks to you guys for that. If you want to know how to support the show, dailytechnewsshow.com/support is the way. Big welcome to new patrons, Damian Dellinger, Jason Chung, and Michael Wigmore. Welcome into the fold. Everybody give them a big warm welcome, and huge thanks to Jonathan Putney, Adam, and Justin Chubb, who all increased their patronage amount as well. patreon.com/DTNS. Don't forget, folks, to submit your best of segments soon, bit.ly/bestofDTNS. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're live Monday through Friday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern at alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. And our website is dailytechnewsshow.com. Back tomorrow with Patrick Beja. Talk to you then.
Part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
All right. Good show. What should we call it?
I like It Runs on People. That's pretty funny.
It Runs on People. Kind of like...
Our two-factor is your real friend.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yep.
It's going to burn, people. First, do no harm.
Guess. Yeah.
Yeah, Harman Kardon.
Yeah, got it.
It's about more than just being friends. Another, it's going to burn, people. It's from Captain Jack. He just added a comma. Spotify, it's like Netflix for music.
That's technically true.
The Matrix was right by the deep ether stream, toaster fire. Oh, so that's where the fire thing keeps going. Don't cross the music streams. No toaster attack. I really can't pick one because
you like nothing, it runs nothing on jumps people, out right? of it.
Huh?
Veronica, you like it runs on people.
Mm-hmm. I think that's funny.
That one's winning too. Yeah. I say we go with that.
Okie dokie. Okie dokie, Pokey.
Who you call him, Pokey? It runs on people! People! I love it! Good show.
Alrighty, I'm gonna head out.
Okay,
thanks,
why
guys.
Are you talking like that?
I don't know. I don't know.
Is that the voice you use at work? That's your professional voice?
That's my professional voice, yes. Oh, by the way, I started playing Civ 6.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
It's intense. It
is intense. I started like way too high level, and I was just getting the poop kicked out of me.
Yeah.
But I went down to like Prince or something just to get my bearings.
Well, yeah.
And it's like, it's, I don't understand how they keep doing it. I mean, because it's basically still the same game that it's been for 20 years, and yet it still sucks me in the same way. Well, and, but there is a lot of, it's smoother now. I feel like, yeah.
It's smoother and more complex at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like it made it easier for you to play, like to know what's going on.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, it's like some of my old tricks from, you know, Civ 2 days, that some of them haven't worked for a while, but like, you know, I can't just load up militia in towns, right?
Right.
You have to actually deploy your military like you would in real life.
My favorite thing is that you can link a military unit with a settler or with another like non-military unit. And so they can protect them when they're going around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a good feature.
And putting like, locating the entertainment centers and the religious centers around the city.
The
like
districts.
In the districts.
Yeah, different spots. Super cool. Okay, I got to go. I'll talk about this whole nother episode.
Sounds good. All
right. See you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Yeah. Too late now.
What have you been playing? You've been playing anything, Roger?
Music-wise?
No, game-wise.
No. My GPU died, remember? I can't play anything. Well, I mean, I can play on the Xbox, but if I play anything...
Play on your laptop. You can play Civ on your laptop.
I can.
And you have an Xbox, exactly. You could totally play stuff.
Yes, except it's attached to the TV, and if Ellie's...
Yeah.
Ellie's there, which is...
No, Brian talks about that all the time, how he basically can't use the TV for anything.
Yeah, other than watching videos.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't even watch his own shows on it. It's pretty much just for the kids.
It's split between myself, Jen, and Ellie.
Yeah, well, and I guess Ellie's still young enough. The problem with Brian's kids is they're old enough where he's like, ooh, I don't know if I want to watch that while they can see it.
Well, we watch like a lot of SNL, so it's like...
Yeah, that's probably okay.
Yeah. I watch 80s action movies, which has explosions, but no... So that's the thing. All those 80s and 90s movies have a lot of... like blowing up people, but they don't have any anything.
But you don't see them blow up. That was the whole thing about the A-Team was that they could shoot people and people could fall down, but they couldn't be dead.
Yes. It's like they were either the worst shots in history.
Yeah.
Like you guys sure use a lot of ammunition for not doing anything. I think that's part of the problem why we're so desensitized
because it wasn't realistic enough maybe.
Yeah,
that's an interesting
point.
Like,
well, you know, if I do that, I mean, of course, you know, that's the argument the PTA used against the Three Stooges, right? It's like, oh, if kids see that, they'll think punching each other and poke each other in the eye is fine because it doesn't hurt anyone, the Three Stooges.
Honestly, I'm not sure I agree with that. A lot of the TV violence studies have been pretty inconclusive about whether it actually raises aggression or not.
I think it's like anything else. If people have a predisposition to it, they might be influenced.
I think
by
it probably has. I think if we kept studying it, we'd find that it has a slight raising of the probability, but only has a truly dangerous effect in someone who, like you say, was already prone to it anyway. But that's just a hypothesis. That's, you know, that's not actually the truth.
Hypothesis.
Most of the violence, I remember we studied this a little bit when I was in journalism school at UT, and most of the violence in children's studies were not replicated or were small sample sizes. And a lot of them didn't find any effect anyway. Of course, that was 15 years ago. That was 1994.
Wow, that sounds like...
Oh, that's 20 years ago, isn't it? Wow.
Yes. You know, it's weird because I remember when people used to say that when I was in high school. Oh, 20 years ago, that wasn't a thing. It's like, that's the dark ages. Now I'm one of those people.
Patreon just mentioned Daily Tech News Show in a post.
Excellent.
What did they say? It's loading so slowly. Come on, come on. Oh, it's about Patreon. Special thanks. We got a special thanks. Yay. Oh, this is their video. I'll have to watch this. They did a video about Patreon. They must have used me. my interview. I feel used in a good way. I never really liked the Three Stooges growing up.
I thought it was okay. I thought they were really boring. Like, I preferred Abbott and Costello.
It's not exactly the same thing as clowns, but it was a little bit like, I don't know. Yeah, I liked Abbott and Costello. Laurel and Hardy were on the cusp for me. They're okay.
They were a little too dry. I think part of it is that slapstick evolved in that, what was it, 10, 15 years between?
Yeah.
After Laurel and Hardy, where it kind of, where everything kind of had a rhythm to it.
Abbott and Costello was part of that, like, Sunday, Saturday or Sunday. Actually, it might have been Saturday. Where they would
Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, Channel 11, they would show the Bowery Boys, Ma and Pa Kettle, the Abbott and Costello, and then often like a King Kong movie or a Fred Astaire movie or something like that.
Yeah, like in here, they did. They had the Abbott and Costello, but those are all right after the Saturday morning cartoon block.
Yeah, it must have been on Saturdays. It couldn't have been Sundays because my dad would have been watching football. We would have never seen him.
And then Saturday afternoon, they would do a bunch of movies like Ulysses or something like that.
Mm.
Some sort of like 60s grand, you know, cast of 1,000
right
movies. And then for fun, they might throw in a Godzilla or a Gamera movie.
Right. Every once in a while, we get a good Godzilla for sure. Well, okay, so here... What's interesting is that was done because these independent television stations needed to find cheap content that they could afford to license and show. What would be the equivalent today? Like, those things were at the time, what, 30 to 40 years old in most cases.
Yeah.
30 to 40 years. So this would be like showing 70s TV shows.
MeTV is kind of like that. Yeah, that's what they do. Yeah. I know, like, for a lot of on-demand streaming sites, they often backfill their catalog with stuff that's like pretty old.
Yeah.
Because it's cheaper and they can probably get it as a large, like, you can get our 50s collection. Although no one's done like a Dragnet or any of the big popular ones from the 50s. What's the one where he was the attorney?
Perry Mason?
Yeah. Like shows like that. Those are pretty big ones. And Twilight Zone. Twilight Zone they used to have.
They show that on Sci-Fi. I don't know if they still do. They used to.
I guess you have to be really old to really appreciate Perry Mason.
Yeah.
Not to mention knowing what we know about law, we would say, you know what? That's just a little too aspirational.
We're like, too sophisticated for Perry Mason now, legally speaking.
Too cynical. Like, that would never fly.
Objection, Your Honor.
Perry Mason, if he had to face off in Judge Judy's court.
You know, one of these days, we'll be able to do virtual characters well enough that you can make that happen.
You could
just feed in to machine learning all of the Perry Mason episodes and all the Judge Judy episodes and have it spin.
You know what?
The show.
Invariably, they all turn out to be very unsatisfying. Like, not Judge Judy and Perry Mason, but like a lot of these mashups. It's a big thing with comic books now to kind of do that. Like,
Star Trek, Doctor Who comic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, or yeah. Batman and whatever. Yep. And they always sound cool. Like, a good one is the Predators versus Aliens movies. Wouldn't it be cool if you get the Predators and the Aliens? It's like, yeah, they never work out as good as you want them to. Because
they just sound better on paper.
Exactly. And I think part of it is a majority of those are kind of money-making. Like, that's all they think of. It's like, well, we don't really want a sophisticated plot. We just want to shoot this as cheaply as
possible. Sell a lot of copies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a lot of tickets. Yeah, I wish to see Arrival. This weekend.
I want to see it. Is it good? Is it as good as I think it's going to be?
No, because I want to manage your expectations. But yeah, it was really good. I enjoyed it. And I had read the short story last year for Sword and Laser. And so I knew the twists. I knew the turns. I knew what was going to happen, and I still enjoyed it. Eileen loved it, and she had no idea what was coming, so she enjoyed it quite a bit.
Oh, I see that. Alien versus Predator comics were actually they were halfway decent. I would give you that. I think it depends because it was a pretty long.
You'll give who that
line? Oh, Beatmaster. It said the Alien versus Predator comics were mostly awesome, but Dark Horse act that was one of the things Dark Horse did very well, and that was to take movie licenses and make them into halfway decent comics.
Yeah. No, I like that Marvel is, you know, putting out all these Star Wars comics. I've been reading them a lot, but I do miss Dark Horse being involved with them. There is a tangible difference between the styles. Part of it is that Marvel, not art style, but is bringing a very unified storytelling parameter. Yeah. To all the comics. So even though you get different art styles, you get different story creators, but they are very obviously working within a shared universe. Whereas Dark Horse, I mean, for good or ill, I guess, let the reins loosen a little bit.
Well, they were allowed, I mean, at the time, they were allowed to have an incredible amount of creative leeway expanding. I mean, a lot of the stuff with the Sith, I mean, came through Dark Horse.
Yeah.
The back history, and I think that's what people like. There's like all these things that are hinted at in the movies you can finally understand and explore, which was cool. I don't know, it's going to be weird. I'm wondering, there's going to be a level of blending, I think, is going to happen because they are trying to have
it's a tough task that they have given themselves to create quality stories in a 100% shared universe.
I mean, even the Star Trek spinoffs were like, weren't they all sort of after the Next Generation crew, like after everyone moved on? Isn't that the whole reason why?
The comics?
No, the TV series. Or were they?
Yes, it was original series, then Next Generation, then Deep Space Nine sort of was coincident with the end of Next Generation,
yeah,
and coincident with the beginning of Voyager, and then Enterprise was the first one that went back prior to all of the series.
So Deep Space Nine, I guess, I mean, in their universe would have been like 10, 15 years later?
No, Deep Space Nine starts in season 5 of Next Generation. Like, there's a crossover episode where Ensign Ro gets dropped off at Deep Space Nine, and they meet Sisko. Because originally Michelle Forbes was going to be a cast member and then decided she didn't want to get stereotypes.
Typecast.
Yeah. Or typecast.
She did. She was one of the best characters in Next Generation.
She really was.
And you know what? What's her name? Who's the character that replaced her? What's her name?
Oh, on Kira.
Yeah, Kira. Wasn't it satisfying? She did.
She was good, but yeah, the character, I don't know if it was the actress or the character, though, because the character, because she was native Bajoran 100%, was a different character than Ro, which who had been a Bajoran with Federation loyalties. Yeah. And
but like, there's something about Ro is very much like the schoolgirl that like sneaks out to light a cig, like to huff on a cigarette.
Oh, yeah,
like,
totally.
That edge.
It's just an edgier character.
Yeah.
They had done a lot to build that up. All right, I think I've got everything published here. So excited to find out if I've accurately published the show. Bajoring. Beatmaster says, Bajorans were a boring culture?
I didn't know too much other than their religious aspect. I think this is a good comment. A spaceship that could fly with the solar winds. I thought that whole thing was a little much.
Well, the whole Bajoran mysticism was the underpinnings of Sisko's entire storyline. Because he was the emissary,
He was the emissary to the wormhole aliens.
Yeah.
I always find that kind of weird. Why are they wormhole aliens and not just beings? I mean, isn't everyone else technically an alien to each other? Like, aren't the Dominion and the alien empire
All right. We'll leave the solution to that problem as an exercise for the listener. Thank you, everyone, for watching. We'll be back with Patrick tomorrow. Goodbye.